Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever tried to give a big hug and a kiss to your adolescent son, only to have him tell you, "Dad, you're embarrassing me"? You know, and then there are adolescent girls who talk about being embarrassed by their moms as well. Kids feel they have to keep their distance from their parents, otherwise they'll suffer mocking and rejection by their friends. In John 18, before Jesus dies on the cross, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter was clearly embarrassed by his association with Jesus, and he feared the mocking and the suffering and rejection and even the punishment of his fellow Jews for being one of Jesus' disciples. Even today, in our own way, we also at times have been embarrassed or slow or afraid to admit to our friends and others that we also are disciples of Jesus. When kids keep their distance from their embarrassing parents and even at times deny them before their friends, a loving mom and dad won't disown their children, but rather they absorb that hurt that they may feel and then they put that aside. Loving parents do everything they can to show their children just how much they are loved, and to give them an opportunity, to give their kids an opportunity to express their love in their own way at their own time. In the gospel lesson today, a resurrected Jesus returns Peter to fellowship with himself and gives Peter the opportunity to confess his love for Jesus 3 times. Jesus isn't embarrassed by those whom he calls disciples, though we often give him reason to be embarrassed, as Peter and the others also did. Rather, Jesus, crucified and risen again, restores us to fellowship with him again and again and again and again. And he gives us the opportunity to again serve him in this world. Now, in today's gospel lesson, along with the reading from the book of Acts, we have some familiar Bible stories that have to do with the resurrected Jesus abundantly restoring his followers to fellowship with him. We're going to focus on the gospel story, which starts out with a night wasted fishing by the disciples. Now, I say wasted because they caught nothing, zero. But when Jesus, standing on the shoreline, greets them and gives them his instructions, all that had been failure and loss turns into abundance by now catching the 153 fish. The blessing of that abundance of fish serves as an indicator of just how great is the restoration that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It's how great that restoration is that Jesus provides to his people. The problem is, we often, like the disciples, don't recognize at first that Jesus is the one who is giving us direction. We can waste opportunities for profitable service to him by being wasteful of his guidance. It's like this story of a man who was exploring caves by a different seashore. In one of the caves, he found a canvas bag that had a bunch of clay balls in them. It was like someone had taken clay and rolled them into balls and set them out in the sun and let them dry. They didn't look like much, but they intrigued the man, so he grabbed up the satchel and took it with him. So as he strolled along the beach, he would take the clay balls out one at a time and heave them, you know, as far into the ocean as he could throw them. He didn't think much about it until he had one of those clay balls in his hand and he dropped it on a rock. And it cracked open. And inside was a precious, beautiful jewel. Now, excited, the man started breaking open all the remaining clay balls. Each one had a similar stone inside. He found thousands of dollars worth of jewels in the 20 or so clay balls that he had left. Then it struck him. He'd been on the beach a long time. He'd thrown probably 50 or 60 of those clay balls into the ocean. Instead of thousands of dollars in treasure, he could have taken home tens of thousands, but instead he had just thrown it away. Thrown it away. It's like that with the direction and the restoration that Jesus provides to this world. It's often just thrown away and not recognized for its precious nature. It's like how we sometimes go through our liturgy while we're thinking about the pot roast. Or we go through confession and absolution just by saying the words. We do it by rote without thinking much about what it is we're saying, or we're not truly hearing the declaration that Jesus has restored us and that he has returned us to fellowship with him and with the God of heaven. However, this is true. As we hear that absolution, and as we let that fill us up, it will change us. It will change us each time, because his word of forgiveness and restoration is effective each and every time. It's effective because Christ is risen. Christ is risen. The resurrected Jesus on the seashore where the disciples are fishing provides them direction. And following his direction results in his providing for the disciples abundant living. And his provision for abundant living is an indicator of just how great the restoration with God is that the blood of Jesus provides for everyone. Our receiving God's abundant grace through faith, through Jesus' blood shed on the cross, does not depend on doing any work ourselves to get us into good enough shape. We can't do anything good enough to restore us to God. God does that restoration for each of us, just as Jesus did with Peter. The Lord, in the lesson today, restored Peter after Peter's three-time denial of the Lord on the night when he was crucified. Today, in the gospel lesson, Jesus asks Peter how many times? Three times. Do you love me? And each time Peter replies, yes. Peter, by Jesus' word of forgiveness and absolution, is given. He is given all that he needs to again be in fellowship with Jesus. Jesus does not first ask Peter to get better. Go improve yourself. He doesn't ask that. He doesn't say, only then will I use you to feed my lambs. No. Jesus takes Peter as he is, broken and humbled by his own words of embarrassment and denial on the night Jesus died. Shattered and repentant by his confession to Jesus of, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus then gives to Peter the grace that is needed to live the rest of his life as Jesus is restored and faithful witness. Peter, with all of his flaws and his impetuous nature, are what Jesus restores to a right relationship with himself. And then he uses Peter to give the good news of forgiveness he has received from Jesus to others and to the world. Each of us has our own unique flaws, like Peter. But if we will allow it, the Lord will use us, flaws and all. Jesus takes us as we are, restores us by His grace, and then, having been changed by His grace, He uses us for His purposes. Our efforts to perfect ourselves do not earn us a purpose. Only the precious jewel of Jesus' perfection, given to us by the Holy Spirit, makes us useful. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The resurrected Jesus provides all His followers abundant restoration and purpose, a driving purpose for our lives. Our salvation does not depend on us doing something or anything, but our effectiveness in this world as Christ's witnesses, that does require our participation, our effort. As we put forth effort to be obedient to Christ, so will our effectiveness improve. Our salvation, you have to remember this, our salvation is not what's at stake in our obedience to Jesus' purpose for us, but our effectiveness in feeding His lambs, as He said to Peter, our effectiveness in feeding His lambs in this world with His word of abundant provision, that is affected by our efforts. We're to give His word away and then let Jesus supply the growth. We don't put the jewel inside the clay. God does that. We simply have to be the clay, holding the jewel of the Word of God, and then we're to be willing to be opened up, broken apart, and used according to God's purposes. Because Christ is risen,
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the one who establishes our purposes for us. He restores us to a right relationship with God, which then allows us, following that, to be used. Don't be surprised. God knows our cracks and our flaws, and He uses us anyway. Not because of those things, but because in His love and His abundant provision, He chooses us. Jesus' words to Peter resulted in Peter's restoration, and Jesus' words to us also results in continual blessing and abundant restoration for us. If Jesus' words didn't do that, I couldn't be standing here today with you. We've been given the jewel of heaven by God's grace through faith alone. That's in contrast to those who refuse the gift of God's grace offered through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. The abundant and continual blessings we've been given through Jesus' resurrection completely fill our need for eternal restoration with God beyond what you and I on this earth can imagine. We're not only given the precious gem of heaven, but we're also given the purpose of serving Jesus here on this earth now. That's because we've been transformed through the abundant supply that is ours through the cross of Jesus Christ alone. Like was said earlier, even though we, like Peter, at times have been embarrassed or slow or afraid to admit before others that we're disciples of Jesus, the Lord is never embarrassed of those whom He calls disciples. Rather, because Christ is risen,
He is risen indeed.
He restores us through His blood and grace, and He makes us His own. We then go and feed his lambs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please rise.